So don't miss Carmen Saturday night, April the 9th. I think it's going to be huge. Are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
This is a word that everybody can hear in it if you have an ear to hear the exact word you need today from the Lord. I'm going to give you a fact and a promise. Both are found in one verse of Scripture, and that verse is Psalm 34, which is a great chapter. But we zero in on verse 19 of the 34th Psalm. For a fact and a promise, David tells it like it is. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's the fact. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, and here comes the promise, the Lord delivers him out of them all. There we have the fact, it's the way of life. Some people think that because we are a Christian, we are exempt from affliction. It could be offense, it could be sickness, it could be dire straits financially, it could be pressure of any kind, it could be a challenge, a devil, a mountain, a disease, a relationship gone sour, a business gone south. Oh, it comes in a variety of shapes and sizes, and there are more than one for us in a lifetime. Many, it's a fact, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That is a fact of life. The promise that matches the fact is God's word says he will deliver us out of them all. The New Living Translation says the righteous person faces many troubles. Anybody ever faced many troubles? But the Lord comes to the rescue each time. The Lord comes to the rescue each time. Somebody here needs to hear that desperately today. You are in need of the word of the Lord that would say to you, regardless of the great trouble you are in right now, the Lord comes to the rescue. We don't trust in chariots. We don't trust in horses. Our armies on the battlefield, we trust in our God to deliver us from many afflictions. So if you think, and some people preach this, that because you are a Christian, you are promised exemption from trouble, you are wrong. You are not promised exemption, but you are guaranteed deliverance. The Lord comes to the rescue. There's a fact and a promise. The fact Jesus confirmed in the New Testament when he said to his disciples, in this world you will have tribulation. Don't like that word. But it's a promise, and Jesus confirmed it himself. But Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and said, the Lord comforts us in all our tribulation. We get good news in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Paul says, no temptation, that could be a test or a trial, has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able to bear up under. But with the temptation, the test, the trial, the affliction, the tribulation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So there we have some comfort right there in God's word. He's supervising it all. He's not blinked an eye. He's not had a stroke and fallen off the throne and lost track of where you are. Not a bit. He is sovereign. He's keeping up with everything going on in your life. And while he will not exempt us from trouble, he does come to our rescue and deliver us from trouble. And he will not allow more. Some of you think, I can't take another thing. This has gone bad. This is wrong. This, that, and the other. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. No, you're not. No, you're not. God promises you not going to put so much on you that you can't handle. But he will provide during seasons of trouble an escape door for you. You will either get relief by escaping the problem altogether. He will deliver you out, or he will deliver you in. In or out, deliverance comes. And he has the final word. No temptation has overtaken you. He monitors the load you will carry, the weight of the troubles and the afflictions that come, and he promises you they will surely come. No pharmacist has ever weighed out medicine with the care and with the exactness God does when he weighs out every trial he dispenses. Not 1 ounce too much will he ever allow us to bear. He knows our limits. He knows our frame. He made us. He knows what we can handle. And he will never allow our weight load to exceed what we can carry. And his grace will sustain us. The Message translation in that same verse says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. Now, it's the norm. Not exemption, but deliverance. And many will come. Afflictions are promised. Many troubles seek us out. In fact, affliction seeks out the righteous just like the ungodly. Now, I would have, had I been God, and the world should take a great sigh of relief that I have not been God. But were I God, when all of this were designed, I would have figured it out differently in my limited, very, very, very limited wisdom compared to God's infinite. I would have come up with something like, okay, now if people are going to trust me, if they're going to become my children, then I'm going to exempt them from trouble and affliction. But now the ungodly, not so. They're going to deal with the devil. But now my children, if I were God designing this thing, my children, they're going to come to me, put their faith in me, then, exemption from any trouble. But God didn't design it that way. In fact, hello, he promises, in this world we will have tribulation, trouble, and affliction seeks out the righteous, those in right standing with God by faith in his son Jesus, just like it seeks out the demon-possessed, atheistic unbeliever. They come to all of us. So 4 points quickly. And then the highlight of the service will be when we offer prayer for the many needs in your... Some of you going through trouble right now. Some of you going to a doctor this week. The appointment's already set. And you're uncertain and unsure. And you can get relief from that burden in prayer. Some of you don't know what to do next. You need a word of direction. The greatest thing that will happen today is what happens at the altar of the Lord this morning. You'll have a chance to come for prayer in just a few minutes. But let's look at 4 facts that will encourage us to know that the Lord is coming to our rescue in time of trouble. Number one, Christians should expect adversity. Why would we not? If we are a Christian and we do not expect adversity, we're not in the Word. We don't know what the Word says. The Word is clear on that point from cover to cover. Look at all of the heroes of the Bible. They all faced trouble. That's how they became great. Is they suffered for a while. Not popular. I'm not going to do this on TV. Just not popular. Ratings would go down. And I'm glad I'm not running for office right now, because I'm not winning many votes on this point, but it's the truth. God's word promises it is a fact of this life. We should expect adversity. If we don't, we won't be prepared for it when it inevitably comes. Adversity for the believer is the norm. Expect it. No matter how spiritual you are or how faithful you are, it's the norm. Expect it. Peter writes, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though some strange thing were happening to you. When you're going through trouble as a believer, it is not a strange thing. It's the normal. Expect it. Acts 14:22 says, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. One translation says, it is through much tribulation we advance in the kingdom of God. Now, we've got men and women here in this church that are in the military or who have been in the military in all branches of our military. We honor you always. You're the reason we are free to worship like this. I have lived in other nations where it's illegal, or at least when it became legal, people were still afraid to come out above ground and worship publicly. But it's not an issue in our nation, at least now, and it hasn't been up to now, because the men and women who have fought for our freedom to do this. But when you sign up for the army, Robert, you were in the army. You're a soldier in the army. When you signed up in the army, didn't you expect it to be rough? Boot camp, training. Did you expect a cruise vacation in the Bahamas? No, you expected it. You expected to be tested to within 1 inch of your life. And your military superior knew somehow. They almost always get it right. Almost always. Robert can handle that. Robert can do that. Robert can crawl on his belly at 10 miles an hour for 6 miles within 30 minutes. Robert can do that. Robert signed up knowing, expecting some tests, some trials and tribulation. But his superior knew. Now, Robert can't fly to the moon, so we're not going to ask him to do that. We're not going to put more on Robert than we... But Robert's tough, we know it. Point is, when Robert signed up, and when any of you men or women signed up for the army or any of our armed forces, you expected it to be tough. And you still did it. They don't hand out free vacations to exotic resorts for boot camp. They put you through it. And if you join God's army, expect your entry into this kingdom to be very difficult. Christians should expect diversity. We have God's word literally on that issue. Secondly, Christians should persevere during adversity. That means you don't give up. You don't quit. There's a great reward for all of us if we don't faint or give up or quit, sit down on the job, bail out, throw in the towel. A great reward for persevering. In fact, your life depends on it. If you've thought about giving up, and maybe somebody has today, in a great crowd like this, at least one person perhaps has had the thought lately, there's just no use. I can't go on. This is a dead end. There's nothing ahead for me. I might as well give up. No. If you're facing adversity, going through trouble or trial, physical health in your body, finances in your bank account, direction for your life, a marriage that is a war zone in your home, a relationship, a business, whatever your trouble today, persevere through it. Just leave determined, I'm not going to give up. This could be an extra wind in your sail. This word this morning could give you a second wind, just enough to make the difference in moving forward or giving up. And so don't give up. Solomon said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I'll tell you what you're going to prove. If you don't persevere, if you give up in the middle of trouble, I'll tell you what you're proving. Your faith was pitiful all along. You don't have much strength to you at all. That's what you're proving. And Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, knew it. There was a little girl. This is a true story, a very true story. She was totally blind. She was born with sight. But when she was an infant, there was an accident that cost her sight. And so she never enjoyed the beauty of a colorful life. She lived to be over 95 years old. And she wrote more than 8,000 songs or poems. She's really made a difference in the church and in the songs we love and adore and sing. This lady wrote, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." This lady wrote, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." This lady wrote, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Her name was Fanny Crosby. I did a little research on her. She was remarkable. One thing she did is she dated Grover Cleveland, who later became president. Or at least they were good friends. Fanny Crosby, 8,000 songs like this. But when she was 8 years old, blind, and only 8, listen to what she wrote. It's a reflection of how she dealt with her affliction. She wrote at age 8, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." What 8-year-old talks like that? Who's born blind or living life blind, can't see, but yet bless the world with so many classics that we sing from our hymn books today. My, my, how many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. From an 8-year-old blind girl. Boy, that's an example of persevering through adversity. Now, there are people who are pastors here. We've always had a church with open doors as other ministers are coming in for a season of Sabbath rest and training and then going back out. How many pastors, either you pastor now or you have ever pastored a church? I know my dad's back there. Stand if you will. Stand if you have ever pastored or you still pastor right now. Well, stand up. Don't be shy now. John Ganey. Okay. Pastor Mike, yeah, give these men a hand. I put you on the spot. Hey, Jason, come here. Come up here, buddy. Come on up. Come on up. I'm not giving you the microphone because the last time I gave you the microphone, well, we won't talk about it. Check out this pastor right here. Yay for Jason. All right, go back. Yay for Jason. The stud pastor right here. You know, I'm so glad we're not religious, aren't you? But now, I asked the pastors to stand for just a moment because I want to prove a point. Every pastor here knows what I'm talking about right now. When you're up ministering the word and you bring the word of the Lord, and then after service, either immediately or the next day or the next week, somebody will get you off privately. All of you pastors know what I'm talking about. And say, that word was just for me. You know what that's like. But we pastors know the truth. It was for us first. Don't we? Don't we? Pastor Osborne, wasn't it? It was like the Lord, you needed that first, and the Lord gave you what you needed, and then you had something to give others who needed the same thing. So, because that principle is at work, let me read to you some things. This is like an AK-47 right now. This is like an assault rifle. I'm going to shoot, 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 shoot at you right now. I'm reading from a list of things I have collected over the years that have ministered to me first. Because we're not exempt from trouble. Are we, pastors? Hey, pastors, are we? One pastor said, hell no, back there. See what I mean? See what I mean? I'm telling you, pastors. Okay, I got to get serious real quick. Don't lose me now. This has ministered to me. This is a collection I've gathered over the years. And when I'm facing hard times, this ministers to me. Are you ready for an assault rifle here? Ecclesiastes 7:14, the word of God says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider God has appointed the one as well as the other. Isaiah 30:20, the Lord gives the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Paul said, I press toward the mark. And the word press he used implies he was facing resistance. Paul said, we are troubled, perplexed, in despair, persecuted, and cast down. But he called all of it a light affliction. And he said, it is working for me. Paul said, there is a huge, massive door of opportunity that is open for me. And there are many adversaries. Adversity gives a man a chance to discover his strength. Kingdom promotion is determined by how well we handle adversity. Pressure never causes a flaw. It only reveals the flaw that is already there. We will have an enemy to deal with as long as God has an enemy. How we handle conflict confirms our level of spiritual maturity. Everything you think is working against you is beneath the surface working out for your good. You will be tested to the degree of your value to the kingdom. If we could see from God's perspective, we would find value in every struggle. Tests and trials are more precious than gold. A test is not a sure sign of impending failure. It is part of our training. Pressure makes diamonds. The benefits of trusting God during the test are better than exemption from the test. The arrival of an enemy in your life is an indicator that a new season is about to begin. God uses adversity always for our advantage. Goliath deserves the credit for being the catalyst that promoted David from a shepherd boy to a king. One day, he was delivering sandwiches, and before sundown, he was a national celebrity giant killer. The giant you are facing will either destroy you or make you a champion. Every test is for the purpose of promotion. 1 Timothy 3:10 says, "But let them also be first tested, and after they have passed the test, then let them serve." When the test is over, God is going to look awfully smart. The crisis is worth it if it leads to an encounter with God. The Bible is filled with heroes of faith, and in every case, it took strong opposition to reposition them to become an influential leader. Every problem has a purpose. Don't curse your crisis. Even Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Present suffering leads to future glory. What God is doing in you while you wait is more important than the rescue you're waiting for. When God wants to do something great, he starts with a difficulty. But when he wants to do something truly magnificent, he begins with an impossibility. This helps me when I need it. And the Bible is clear on this point. No matter who we are, pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, husbands, wives, children, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, bankers, salesmen, plumbers, lawyers, doctors, nurses, teachers, don't matter. If you're a believer, you are promised great trouble. So every now and then, this just helps me out. I hope nobody got wounded with that assault rifle attack right there. And the last thing on my list I've collected over the years, and I've titled it Things to Remember When Hard Times Strike. That's just for me. I'm not publishing it. I'm just saying it's for me. But I'll never forget Madonna. I think I've shared this with you before. Madonna. Now, I'm not a big Madonna fan. I remember when she came on the scene. And she was vulgar in some ways. Actually, you know, now 30, 40 years later, she's elevator music compared to what's out there coming up right now. But I remember she shocked the world with her theatrics and her music and her lyrics and all that. But now she's still on top of her game, even at her age. She did Super Bowl a year or two ago. She fell down and got right back up and kept going. But I'll never forget. It was so good, I Googled it and wrote it down and kept it to inspire me when times are hard. She accepted a Lifetime Achievement Award several years ago, and she got up to receive the award, and while she was holding this award in her hand at the microphone to say what was expected from the winner, as she would thank everybody, you know the drill. Here's what she said. And finally, as she closed her acceptance speech, she said, "I want to thank my critics. Those who said I would never make it in the music business. The critics who said my voice had no lasting commercial appeal. To my critics, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Without your criticism, I would never have given my best. I would have probably coasted and settled for something far less than my best. My critics pulled out the best in me, and without them, I would not be accepting this award this evening." Now, that's somebody who will persevere in adversity and not give up, but survive even verbal attacks, and let it turn into something good that made her even better. I appreciated that in her. We can look back at what has been lost when we go through times of trouble and affliction, or we can look ahead with faith in God, knowing He's going to provide again. Third thing, we'll quickly come to a close. Christians should believe God will bless them despite adversity. Oh, He's going to keep providing. In Genesis chapter 26, Isaac inherited some wells from his father Abraham. And back then a well was a big deal. We don't think about it now, but if you didn't have any water coming or going at your house, and you had to go out in the yard with a shovel, and your shovel, no matter how bad it is better than probably the one Isaac had in his day. And you had to go and dig in the ground until you found water that was decent to drink, and then you had to get it to the surface before you could enjoy it. Well, he inherited that. And then Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, God's enemy army, destroyed the wells, filled them with dirt so that Isaac or any of his family wouldn't have any water to keep them alive. Not only them, but their livestock. Let's not forget how important it is to feed the animals. And so, rather than give up, he went somewhere else and dug another well. And the Philistines did the same thing there, came and filled it up with dirt as soon as Isaac had finished working so hard to get fresh water out of the ground again. And time and time again in Genesis 26, the devil's people destroyed what was bringing life to God's people. They filled the water well with dirt. But he never threw away his shovel. You can read it in Genesis 26. He moved on down a little bit more and he dug yet another well, because he had the attitude, God has blessed me before and he will do it again. And Christians should believe God still has a blessing on the way to you despite the trouble you're in right now. He could have thrown down his shovel and quit. Many would have. But he knew the provider was still working for him. And then finally, the fourth fact about going through seasons of trouble. Christians should recognize the good that comes from adversity. There are some things you will go through that absolutely was meant for evil. But you won't be on that journey very long before you realize God is already at work to make it something redemptive. If you just recognize it. Some people wouldn't recognize the goodness of God. You're just oblivious to it. You're not expecting it. And so when it does come your way, it walks right past you. And you're not even aware it came near you. But regardless of what kind of trouble comes our way in life, we should always be able to recognize the goodness of God. And it's a frequent thing. It's a daily thing. He provides every heartbeat, every breath we take. He's good to us all the time. Our troubles can turn into blessings if we will recognize that even in that affliction, that tribulation, it's an opportunity for us to draw even closer to God. God can turn a situation around. Have you ever seen God in your life get involved in a mess and turn it around? Have you? Well, He does it very well. And we should always have our faith strong on this point, that when we go through trouble or adversity of any kind, let's keep our eyes wide open for every sign of the goodness of God and be able to recognize the good things God is up to even when we go through adversity. Would you stand with me? Everybody stand. Bow your heads. I'd like for the prayer team to come. The the men and women who serve the Lord and this church by praying a prayer of agreement with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Father, we are under an umbrella this morning. It's so wonderful to be here in the sanctuary where no harm can come to us, where we find safety and protection here. And it's been easy to hear you speak clearly today. This is a right now word for so many people in this church facing difficulties. Even today and this week, many laboring under the weight and the burden and the cares that have found their way to us. So now we go to the source. We look to you for you to minister to us at our point of need. So I thank you for the faith that's working. Listen now, listen, every man and woman here who's dealing with any trouble, I'm thanking God right now for the faith that's working in your life already. The fact that you're here today in the sanctuary, not home asleep or somewhere else right now today, but you have found your way to the sanctuary, that lets me know you've got faith working. You believed God had something worth hearing. So you're here to receive His word. And because that faith is already at work and it's higher now because of hearing the word of God, then this is your moment. This is your moment to receive a prayer of agreement. Perhaps the word of the Lord spoken over you and your situation. And so we sanctify this altar now. We release an anointing for the prayer of agreement and for the word of the Lord to make a real difference in the lives of many of you who are facing a struggle this week. And we receive your best even at the altar today. And we thank you, Lord, for so providing every need we have met according to your word and our faith in it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for worshiping here today. Before you go out that door, if you're dealing with any trouble in your life and would like somebody to pray with you, come forward and receive prayer at this time.